But I understand that you had quite a harrowing experience at one point, that you actually were
I've come
riding
close to
and
death
were in
a
wreck.
Couple of times. I was on my way to visit Utah Phillips over in Spokane from Missoula. And 30 miles from Spokane, 27 cars fell off the track, and I was number 23. It was the damnedest roller coaster ride you've ever seen in your life. You could see the grooves in the steel floor where my fingers were digging in.
Now, overall, though, you came out...
With a sprained wrist and $300 in hospital bills. They kept sending them to me. Finally, they sent me a note from a collection agency saying, either you don't understand this bill or we don't understand this bill. And as I crumpled it up and filed it in the circular file, I said into the cosmos, you don't understand that I have no intention of paying this bill. Somebody must have heard me because I never heard from them again. And there was a couple of times I almost froze, and, you know, you can get pretty wet and cold on a flat car.
What's the standard way of trying to protect yourself from the elements?
Find a box car, which aren't the most comfortable ride in the world. The most comfortable ride is the back porch on a loaded grainer. That you're out of the wind. The car is fairly stable because it's got weight in it, and there's still a place to ride. That's about the most comfortable ride. The most comfortable ride is the second unit, the second engine. But you can have a little trouble if you get caught doing that. If you're lucky enough, you get invited in, or pretty enough, I guess.
Now, people who, those of you who have actually gone out and traveled this way, as well as speaking in a certain sort of hobo shorthand, there's also a way to travel as far as your gear and
light as possible.
Right. And you want to talk a little bit about the principles of that or how those things?
The old timers used to, the real ace tramps. Used to travel streamlined, nothing except what they could carry in their pockets. You know, and they'd have everything. They'd have a razor in one pocket and a toothbrush in another and a pair of gloves and a pair of goggles in case they had to ride the tops or ride the rods. Or they'd have a little groove board about 12, 18 inches long, and you could put on the sway rods and balance yourself on that underneath the boxcars. That's the way to do it. Unfortunately, because there is such a great distance between stops these days, you need to carry everything. You need to carry food. You need to carry a lot of water. You need to carry a bedroll, you know, because sometimes you get on that thing and you can stop, but it'll be out in the middle of nowhere, you know.
So getting off the train, it could be a great disadvantage at that point.
Traveling with a guitar and a bedroll is too much sometimes.
What are your thoughts on the nature of work? You obviously took to a lifestyle. For those who don't know you, that you've played music, but haven't chosen to work for other wage jobs.
Well, I try not to. You know, I retired when I was 17. I called in well. I said, I feel too good to come to work anymore. You know, and I've managed to, you know, basically hold to that for 33 years. This year I had to take my first real job, you know. Not that I haven't worked, and I have, you know, worked on ranches and farms and set choker on a Gippo logging crew for a while. You know, they've done a lot of different things. But, you know, having to do the paperwork and, you know, be official. This is the first time in 33 years. The reason they call it work is because all the other good four-letter words were already taken. You know, if it was all that it was cracked up to be, work, you know, the rich would have kept it for themselves a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, I suppose we could talk a little bit more about some of the hobo life. Do you have any thoughts on the future of the hobo and what's to become of that life's choice in our culture?
Well, I mean, there's always going to be people who ride, you know, and that's indigenous to North America. I mean, the tramps in Australia don't ride the trains. You know, it's unheard of. The tramps in England don't ride the trains. I mean, Jack London got in trouble trying to do it when he was researching the book People of the Abyss. There's always going to be boomers. There's always people going where the work is. People go around the country with their own headsets working telemarketing operations. They're going from one to another. You know, I guess you could call them bucket shops, but there's still booming construction workers. You know, they don't travel by freight anymore. You know, they make enough money they can afford to get in debt to the bank and have a big rig. Some of them even, you know, pull a trailer so they don't have to spend money on hotel rooms or apartments when they get to where they're working.
So the economic facts of life haven't changed enough to eliminate this segment of travel and workers.
The economic facts of life have probably gotten worse. My father worked for the city of New York in 1950. I was 1 year old. He supported a wife and kid and himself on $1,000 a year. That was his city salary. You know, they say that what we could buy for 18 cents in 1950 now costs us over a buck. You know, so the wages look like they're bigger, but they really ain't. You know, the economic facts haven't changed at all. It just we just get more trappings to distract us.
Final thoughts? What's any regrets or any aspirations for the future of your wandering life?
Well, I mean, even New Age people who borrow liberally from Eastern religions seem to have missed the whole point and have a goal. The goal isn't the answer; it's the journey itself. It's having direction, you know. And mine is tattooed on my arm. The old tramp's motto in Latin, mors ante servitium, death before employment.
That's perfect.
I've traveled east, I've traveled west, I've been in every state. A member of the Knights at Rest with dues paid up to date. There's just two things that I despise, two things I always should. The first thing is a cake of soap, the other one is wood. My life to me is just a spree, I'm always on lark. Somebody said, you're just a bum. I don't like that remark. Who said I was a bum? Who said I was a bum? I haven't worked in 30 years, I guess I'm not so dumb. And as the tramp is on the go, the people hear me hum. Oh, I know I'm a hobo, but who said I was a bum? I must admit I never fit in any job and stay. Whenever I see a pile of wood, I look the other way. I haven't shaved in many a year, I really am afraid. Because I fear my wire beard would break the razor blade. The other day I was on my way, this cop gave me a chase. I thought I heard him holler, take that mattress off your face. Who said I was a bum? Who said I was a bum? Don't think that I'm a lonesome guy because I look so glum. I've got a lot of cootie friends that got me on the run. Oh, I know I'm a hobo, but who said I was a bum? My coat is torn, my shoes are worn, there's holes in both my clothes. And what is worse, I always nurse a blossom on my nose. And at a glance, you can see my pants are baggy at the knees. They're worn so thin, you can feel the wind blow through my BBDs. There ain't nothing worries me, I'm mighty glad of that. There ain't nothing on my mind except a dirty hat. Who said I was a bum? Who said I was a bum? I've been in every hospital that's ever been built by gum. But every time they operate, they just cut out my rum. Oh, I know I'm a hobo, but who said I was a bum? I travel in the finest style, and no matter what the rates, I ride the rods on Pullman cars, sometimes I ride the freights. I always eat the finest food, I always ask for more. I mean the kind of food they hand me out the kitchen doors. From coast to coast, no bum can boast such popularity. Wherever I stop, I find a cop who's waiting to welcome me. Who said I was a bum? Who said I was a bum? I've been thrown in many a jail, they've thrown me out of some. I've never worked and never fought and never will by gum. Oh, I know I'm a hobo, but who said I was a bum?
Where'd that one come from?
I think that's Frank Luther.
Is that a 30s number?
Yeah, 20s. Yeah, there was a whole genre of songs like that, you know.
What else you got in mind to play for us?
Well, Mysteries of Hobo's Life, Song of the Road, Song of the Rail. I've got it, you know.
Yeah.
See, this is T-Bone Slim, Valentine Matthew Huchta, a Finnish immigrant.
Had several jobs. I think he died on the New York waterfront, didn't he?
Yeah, he was the captain of a garbage barge on the East River, and the fellow workers used to go down there on hot summer nights. And I think it was Sam Dolgoff went down one night with two bottles of Old Overalls rye whiskey, and staggered home in the shank of the evening. And that was the last anybody saw of Slim. The story of his death, Van Ronk told me the story. Dave Van Ronk told me the story of his death. And Van Ronk quoted Ezra Pound to me, "Lipo too died drunk, trying to embrace the moon."
Huchta was an interesting character because he wrote an awful lot of material, had a wonderful sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. Half a loaf is better than no loafing at all.
and even though he was quite prolific and was well-published in the IWW literature, not that many people really knew him closely.
No, hardly anybody knew him at all. But he used to say that when confronted with injustice, the proper form of response was attack. Took a job on an extra gang way out on the mountain, and I paid my fee, and the shark shipped me, and the ties I soon was counting. And the boss, he set me driving spikes, and the sweat was enough to blind me. Well, he didn't seem to like my pace, so I left that job behind me. And I grabbed a hold of an old freight train, around the country traveled, and the mysteries of a hobo's life to me were soon unraveled. So I traveled east and traveled west, and the shacks could never find me. Next morning I was miles away from the job I left behind me. Stiffs who were known as industrial workers, and they taught me how to be a man and how to fight the shirkers. So I chipped right in and joined the bunch, and now in the ranks you'll find me. Hurrah for the cause, to hell with the boss and the job I left behind me. Let's see, what else we got? See if I can do that one I wrote last year about the railroad killer. Thank you. Come all you railroad boomers and listen to my song. I'll try and tell you about a terrible wrong. It's tough to tramp in Texas. You might find yourself in jail. They say that there's a killer who is riding on the rails. The cops are out in numbers, they're counting all the cars. And if you're found upon the train, you've put you behind bars. They won't ask any questions, they'll just throw you in the can, in the hopes they'll catch this killer who is not a gentleman. They say he's killed in Texas, Kentucky, Illinois. In the hopes that they will catch him, they'll round up all the boys. And when they've caught all hobos who roam across the land, if there are no more murders, then they'll know they've got their man. So listen, all you hobos, and listen to me well. If you go to tramp in Texas, you might find yourself in hell. The jails they have in that great state are the worst you'll ever see. And if they have you behind bars, you'll never more go free. Yeah, that was Angel Ramirez Resendez, I think was the fellow's name. He was traveling around killing people close to the tracks there, three states. You know, and the worst part about it, I wrote that song, which is to the tune of Blind Alfred Reed's record, The Virginian. I wrote that song when I, you know, heard the news stories about how they were stopping all the trains that were running through Texas and grabbing anybody who was on there. You know,
sort of,
because they were so desperate to catch this guy.
Process of elimination type law enforcement.
Yeah. Of course, he had already left the country, and he was back in Mexico at his sister's house. Well, let's finish off with one of my favorites. This was Ralph Chaplin's Song of the Rail. I found it in the IWW songbook, but it had never been put to music.
Sometimes erroneously, even by me, called the Glimmering Rail song, but in any case, Song of the Rail.
Life here in town is too damn monotonous, sticking around at a regular job. All the time somebody bossing and spotting us. I'm not cut out for a laboring job. Things here is much too precise and pernickety. Say, Bo, I'd just as soon be in jail. Sus for the road and the wheels that go clickety, clickety, click on the glimmering rail. It's us for the road and the old hobo way again, loafing around in the wind and the sun, flopping at night in the soft of the hay again. Nary worry, work to be done. Say, ain't you ready to beat it by crickety? Jump on a freight, be off on the trail. Hearing the noise of the wheels that go clickety, clickety, click on the glimmering rail. corrupt judges will call you a pain to society. Brakemen will bounce you off onto the ground. Prep is no cinch, but it's full of variety. Here we're just plotting and plotting around. Honest, I'm getting off feeble and rickety. Say, Bo, we'll wither up, sure, if we stick. It's us with the road and the wheels that go clickety, 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 click. Say, ain't you ready to beat it by crickety? Jump on a freight and be off on the trail. Hearing the noise of the wheels that go clickety, clickety, click on the quivering rail.
Mighty fine, son. Mighty fine.